let's talk about the 2018 Atlanta Truck Race so that we can get ready for the 2019 Atlanta Truck Race. By the way, this Saturday is a landmark DFS NASCAR day. You've got practices in the morning. You got qualifyings in the morning. You've got an Xfinity race followed by a truck race. I know that we've had clash races before where we got to have two contests in one night, but those were clash races. They're just nothing to them. They're single file. They're boring. They're not very racy. We're going to get two really racy tracks. Atlanta, probably one of the best intermediate tracks to watch. We get an Xfinity race. We get a truck race. It's going to be a long, exciting day. I'm pumped for it. Plus, you've got all the DFS action. It should be a great day. So, as I mentioned before, not a truck expert. I have a couple options. I can fake it and act like I know everything. I can just give up. Or I can actually do some homework. And for the truck series, it's not that much homework. I watched most of the races. You probably watched that most of the races. You just got to watch them again and have a better eye for what's going on. And the beauty of the truck races, they're really quick, which makes them really awesome DFS contests, by the way. So just go to YouTube. You type in Atlanta NASCAR full truck race. You know, you can mix the words around however you want. It'll pop up. And you'll notice immediately, wow, this race is really short. Wow. Fox already took most of the commercials out for me. You put it in on at 2x and you will fly through the race. Seriously, I was doing my normal routine of washing baby bottles and switching them in and out and pouring milk into new bottles and then cleaning those dirty bottles. In the process of doing the normal chores, I watched the entire race. It's not that long. It's easy to watch. It's pretty exciting. There weren't any cautions in this race, by the way. Might as well talk about that. That'll help you build in your fantasy lineups. And you'd think, well, this is a racy track. There's tire wear. There should be more cautions. Well, there's not really a lot of tire wear because they're not going that fast. So they're not really abusing the tires that much. And they really don't go through very many tires. They went through three sets. They changed the tires at the end of stage one, they changed the tires at the end of stage two, and then they changed at the end when you got a green-white finish. They did not go through many tires. They did wear their tires, they did fall off in pace, but that was pretty much across the board for everybody. And now I know I did mention in the podcast earlier, like, well, if you can manage your tires, that's probably an advantage. It might be, but the real advantage in this racetrack is going to be out in clean air because it's a very racy track. Going side by side is going to happen a lot, especially at the beginning of the run where the field is crammed together. So the guys from basically 2 through 10th are really going to battle for position. It's going to be some exciting racing side by side. There's a fast high groove. You get a lot of slingshot moves. You can suck up to a guy. You can dive below them. You can go above them on the high side and carry momentum and get some passes. It's really fun to watch. And you see a lot of moving back and forth between, you know, your 2 through 10 and back forward a little bit more. But in that process of these guys side by side battling each other, they slow each other down and the leader runs away and there's absolutely no catching the leader. Track position is going to be absolutely huge in this race. That doesn't mean that I'm going to lock in the number one driver because the way these restarts work with multiple grooves, you can dive low, you can run high on the outside. At the beginning of stage one, Noah Gragson starts third. He is behind Kyle Busch, who's on the pole. He slingshots up to the top, passes him, and clears him, and he's gone and sailing. Now, Gragson had a really good car at the beginning, but really what happened there was Kyle Busch's car not really set up very fast on the short run, and also it was really tight. I guess that they probably, I mean, obviously they missed the setup. I imagine they thought the track temperature was going to be a little bit hotter than it was. It's pretty cool. He was pushing really tight, had to have him loosen the car up, and they would loosen the car up in stage two. I'll get to that in a second. So stage one goes with basically Gragson running away with it, and there's just no catching leader. Gragson dominates all stage one, and then you've got Sauter behind him. Ben Rhodes is up there, Dyson. Moffitt's right there, top five. Kyle Busch, top five. Matt Crafton, top five. Infinger, a little bit back. And these are the same guys that run up front the whole entire way. There is good battling between those cars early in the run and sometimes later in the run when they're dealing with traffic. Because again, it's that air, that pocket of air that these cars can slide through and catch up with each other and move around. But they're not catching the first place car. They're not catching the second place car. It just does not happen. Once you get out front, you're going to lead a lot of laps. You're going to turn a lot of fast laps. And those are going to go to the guys that have the good track position. Now, Gragson wins all stage one. Then he has a terrible pit stop, falls back into traffic, and then you don't really hear from Noah for the rest of the race. Now, it doesn't matter who he is or what truck he drives for. It's the bigger idea of if a car gets caught in traffic, they're done. He goes back, I think, 8th, 9th, or 10th, and we never hear from him until the last restart when they bunch up. And when you have these restarts at Atlanta where you have three grooves that are all viable options, it is chaos. It is exciting. Luckily, no one wrecked at the end of the 2018 Atlanta race. It could have easily happened that way. But what you're seeing is a lot of movers and shakers, comers and goers at the very end. People gain two or three positions that they may not have had, which now, will that change the complexion of this fantasy NASCAR slate? It's possible, but it's going to be the good cars that gain positions, positions that they probably should have already had. You're not going to see a nobody slingshot forward and gain a bunch of positions. So stage two, at the beginning, I believe it's Sauter or Sauter. Johnny leads about 10 laps. Eventually, Bush's car is in. He runs him down, and Bush runs around away with stage two. We come out. Bush then runs away with stage three. It's his. The race is over. No one's cutting into his lead. It's a steady 2.5 second lead. It's not going down whatsoever. And the race is over until Ream blows a tire and wrecks with 2 laps left or so. So we get a green-white checker finish here. Everyone comes in for 4 tires, and Kyle Busch's pit crew just blows it. They struggle on the right side. They can't get the right rear on. It's taking too long. Bush knows it. He knows that track position is everything. There's only a 2-lap shootout, so he audibles, right? So he says, I'm just going to get 2 tires. Well, you probably want to work that out with your team first, because he just decides on his own, I'm only going to get 2 tires. Well, the guy changing the left rear tire has already taken the lug nuts off. Bush pulls away. He gets to about turn one, and his wheel falls off. He throws it in reverse, runs it in reverse all the way back down to his pit stop without a tire. His race is effectively over at that point. And he finishes 21st and went from crushing the DFS scoreboard to, what did I mention in the other podcast? He scored the 20 most fantasy points. So anything can happen. And that's not the first or the last time we've seen that happen to Kyle Busch, but he clearly had a really good truck. And then the next week, I believe he would go on to win at Las Vegas, if I recall. But that was another really good back and forth race where Brett Moffitt was pretty strong in that. So we go to the green-white checker. Brett Moffitt starting third, and if you remember from the Truck Series last year, Moffitt was lights out on restarts. So we get the restart, and Moffitt starting behind the leader, dive bombs him, and it's not a dirty dive bomb. I mean, there was clearly a lane there. They left the bottom lane open. He dove into it. He made it stick. No one pinched him down. They let him slide through. He got in front and just pulled away. And then behind him, it was 3 wide all the way back. And the guy's running 3 wide. That's clearly going to cut down on their room in the turns. It's going to slow him down in the turns. And Moffitt's got 5, 6, 7 car lengths. It's not even close. Once he gets to the back stretch on the first lap, it's over. And he set that up with basically just a gutsy move that they didn't block him on the low line. He got down there. He made it stick, basically forced it 3 wide, and was able to get through and accelerate off the corner. And Moffitt went on to win that race. Might have been one of his second win, maybe. Either way, he went on to an amazing season. We know that. What are some of the takeaways that I've got watching that race? It's an awesome race to watch. 2 wide, side by side, a lot of moving around. They run into lap traffic occasionally, not too much, but the cars that were top 10 cars stay in the top 10. They move back and forth amongst themselves, but you're not going to really just, I mean, there's a room to pass and there's room to run people down, but everyone's just going to finish what they finish. If you fall to the back of the field, sure, you're going to have room in the track to work your way up. I don't see cautions really being a big factor. They could, because there is enough racing side by side, but there's so much room on the track that the guys should be able to make it work. The front is probably what I'm going to want to target. I'm going to want to look at Atlanta over the last 6 years and see who got the lap sled points, because I have a strong feeling that the drivers that started in the top 4 or 5 positions were the guys that led the most laps. I find it hard to believe that anyone starting, I mean, even if you have a really fast car and you start 7th or 8th, but you're better than everybody else, you're not going to be able to make it through traffic quick enough to run down the leader. You're going to have to fight through the side-by-side racing for several laps at the very least. And in those several laps, the leader is just going to pull away. You're not going to be able to run him down. Maybe you get track position that you get another caution, and then you may have a chance later on to pass the leader. But I want to say the guys that start up front, the guys that have the best pit crews that don't make mistakes, are going to be guys that I want to circle around. What else did I pick up from the race? Well, I think that's about it. It's a great race to watch. If I can get a solid car at a cheap price, I'm definitely going to take it. I definitely will sell my soul for Kyle Busch. I'm pretty sure that he is going to run this race. Pretty sure that he's going to want to win this year after what happened last year. And he has a setup, because even when he wasn't leading, it was his teammate, Noah Gragson, that was leading. Well, I hope that helps. There's still more homework to do, but this is the process that I would suggest that we all get in the habit of doing, is watching these YouTube truck races, looking at the stats, figuring out how you want to pick your guys moving forward. Thanks, guys.